We're in the book of Ephesians, and we're in Ephesians chapter 6. So if you'd like to turn in to Ephesians chapter 6, that will be fine. Ephesians chapter 6. The first four verses of this chapter deal with the family, with the home, specifically with children, parents, and that relationship. Last time we were together and looking at the book of Ephesians, we looked at verses 1 through 3, and we looked at children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And we remember how we had that illustration, which is on your paper. We had that kind of drawn out for us on the stage, and we kind of visually walked through that passage of children, you need to obey your parents, but also you are to honor your parents. Honor your mother and your father, which is the first commandment with a promise. And we talked about how important and how that commandment is elevated by the Lord in that passage. Well, as is typical of the Apostle Paul in this passage, he speaks of those who are in the submissive position first, and then he will take and speak of those who have a more of an authority position. He spoke to the wives first in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves therefore to your husbands. And then he spoke to the husbands. And so you have wives, husbands. Now we have children, parents. Then the next section, servants, masters. All of this falls under the umbrella of Ephesians 5:21. Where you look and you see there, submit yourselves therefore one to another in the fear of God. And as I was, again, just studying and rehearsing and preparing for our time together, the significance of that verse again fell upon me. I wanted to share with you just what I saw. I believe that submitting to one another in the fear of God, and again, I'm referring to Ephesians 5:21, which I believe encapsulates or is a foundation for these passages on these different relationships. I believe that submitting to one another in the fear of God means that we understand God's expectations upon us and others, and that we seek to live in such a way that all are able to carry out their God-given roles for the glory of God and peace in the church, marriage, home, and workplace. You see, that verse, I believe, is so very important because I believe it governs how we are to operate. And yes, parents in our home, we do have a place of authority. In fact, we have a place of strength. And in most cases, we are even physically stronger than our children. And so we have that power that we can exert in the home. But this verse, Ephesians 5:21, says, submit yourselves therefore one to another in the fear of God. And in this context, you have children. Children. And you could look at that disdain. And how does that fit? Is submit to children? And what I believe is that we need to submit to God's God-given roles that He's given our children. We need to realize that God has given the role to children to obey and to honor. And we need to submit in the fear of God to them, and that they need to live those roles out. So therefore, we need to create an environment so they can do that. So they can do that. So, Ephesians 6:4. Look at this now. Ephesians 6:4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As is the case in each one of these relationship sections, fathers are being directly addressed. The wives are directly addressed. The husbands are directly addressed. The children are, it's a direct address. Fathers, direct address. Servants, direct address. In other words, the writer here, the Apostle Paul, in his letter, he is calling out these different groups of people. And today it's fathers. Today it's fathers. And I got curious and I was wondering, why fathers? I mean, come on now, why not fathers and mothers? Why not, you know, lump us all together? I mean, we are together in this, right? We are parenting together. And indeed, today's message is going to be about parenting. But I believe it is very significant, men, that fathers are directly addressed. Why? Well, let me refer you back to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. Yeah. Who's the head of the home? The husband. So who ends up being the head of the children then? Fathers. So the responsibility yet remains where? Fathers. So fathers, don't squirm and wiggle out from underneath this. Embrace this command. It is to you. It is to me. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Now, lest you women, you know, say goodbye to this passage, I want you to realize that it's important you understand this, because who are you? You are the most significant helper in this relationship. You are the one that helps and enables the father, the husband, to carry out his roles, and you play as just, you're so significant. And so you've got to understand this, because in many cases, you are the husband, the father's representative in the home. Because indeed, the father can't always be around. It's not always around. And so, again, it's directly addressed to fathers. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. In this passage, we have a do not and we have a do. And they are, first we have the negative, do not do this, and then we have but do this. And I'm so grateful that God gives us both. Because, you know, we can so often, we get the negative, we say, don't do that, or don't do that, and we do this with our kids. Don't do this. My wife and I, as we have learned, and we're continuing to learn as parents, one of the things that we've learned is, in addition to giving the do not, we need to give a do. And I appreciate God does that with us. Don't touch the TV, walk away from the TV. And you might think that's ridiculous, but we have little ones. And so walk away is a pretty adequate do. And so you may hear us at some time say, walk away. It's because we're trying to get them to do something and get them to not do something and to do something right. So here's what God does with us. You know, he says, don't do this, but do this. Provoke your children to anger. The idea of this language here, some translations you may be reading here, exasperate may be a term, an agitation of passions. As I thought about this, I thought about what is it that, in my experience, that I've seen or come across, what is it that exasperates our children? I mean, because very clearly, this is very specifically addressed. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Don't exasperate them. So therefore, God must have something specific in mind, must understand that there's a significant problem or tendency that we as fathers, parents, in general, have in dealing with our children. As I thought about this, I wrote a few things down. As I thought about exasperating your children, one of the first things I thought of was inconsistency in discipline. I did some reading and just a little bit of research, and one of the things that I found that frustrated children when they were interviewed about their parents was that they would get punished for one thing and then not get punished for another thing. They would be told that they would be disciplined, but then they never were. And then so they were left in limbo as to whether they would get a punishment or not. And it would cause them to be frustrated. Inconsistency in discipline. And as you're going to see today, one of the greatest daggers in good parenting, one of the greatest daggers that stifles good parenting, is that of selfishness on the part of a parent and inconsistency. And I struggle, you know, I struggle, I think about this often because we have to discipline in our home on a semi-frequent basis. The frustrating thing as a dad is, again, or you deal with one situation and you just get back to doing what you were doing, and another situation comes up that warrants your direct attention, warrants discipline. And what is the temptation? A couple things: yell at them, and just try to get their attention that way. The other attention is just to ignore it and hope the other parent takes care of it. And or you just kind of shrug and just let it go. This is a frustration to kids. Because why? Because parents, children need our boundaries. They need a structure for life. And that's part of what that illustration I gave you is a picture of the boundaries that we as parents are responsible for from infancy all the way up through to adulthood. And I want you to notice that the boundaries, they are very tight at the beginning. It's because our children need that. They need us to be close. They need a short rein. But as they grow, the boundaries widen, the responsibilities of parents lessen, the responsibility of the children heightens, and therefore it's the process of growth, the journey to adulthood. Inconsistency will lead to angering your children. Hypocrisy in conduct. Another frustrating thing that children speak of is their parents don't do what they tell their children to do. Go pick up your room. And then you look at the parents' room. You know, what's the deal? You go do this, and what do the parents do? They do something exact opposite. How is that frustrating to a child? Well, let me remind you, dear ones, listen, a child, they're just exactly that, a child. They rely on you. You are their caretaker. You feed them, you protect them, you keep them safe, secure. You're their life. And when you are telling them to do something and not doing it yourself, what are they to think? Well, what am I supposed to do? Is this really something important and valuable? And then you can begin to see how an attitude of rebellion could surface within a heart. Unfaithfulness, specifically unfaithfulness to vows, to your marriage partner. What a tremendous frustration and exasperation for young people as they see their parents violate the very commitments that they had made to God. Abuse of authority. There may be some here that their parents took advantage of the authority, the power that they had in the home. Therefore, you have children that are living in fear. You have children that huddle and hide from their parents because the parents abuse their authority. You have exasperated a child. And I'm going to remind you, dear ones, listen, God cares deeply for these little ones, and He has placed them in your care. Not for your pleasure, not for you to abuse. Unwilling to admit wrongs. You want your children to admit when they're wrong, right? Did you tell a lie? Did you lie to me? But how often do you as a parent admit you're wrong? And you do that in front of your children. If you do something that is wrong to your children, you admit it, and you admit it to them. If it was done in public, well, then admit it in public without embarrassing your child. I had to do that just yesterday. I thought something had happened. I saw it wrong. I made the wrong call, and I embarrassed my child. And I needed to go to my child and admit that I was wrong. But when we don't do that, it gives the wrong message. Parents have a get-free card. They can do whatever they want. But me, I'm in prison. I can't do that. Anyway, whatever. No. This last one I thought of, you may think of others, but unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations. I heard a story just recently. Dr. David Jeremiah, many of you listen to him, appreciate his ministry. He told a story about him and his four children. He had four children. His three youngest children were into sports, two football players. I forget what the youngest girl was, but his oldest girl, just not into sports. And it was very hard for him, as he explained. He had these expectations, being a sports-minded man. And he had certain expectations for his eldest, which were never being met. It just wasn't her thing. You see, children, parents, our children are all unique. And we need to be students of them. We need to understand them individually. They cannot all be lumped together. Does that take time? Yes. It takes work. Yes. Effort. Does it take giving up of what you like to do? Sure, it does. But do not place upon your children expectations. Do not place upon them to be the hero on the football field that you never were, never was. You know, it saddens my heart to hear the stories of guys that do heroic things on playing fields, and then they come home, they have more butterflies about coming home to dad than about playing the game. Because dad just always harps on them. They never meet the expectations. You may think of other things, but the point of the text here is, do not exasperate, frustrate your children. Colossians chapter 3, a companion text to this, says it this way: Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. That word discouraged, it's disheartened or emptied of passion. And we don't want to do that to our children, do we? We don't want to empty them of their of passion for life and zest. You know, if it's playing chess in the chess club, or if it's playing soccer on the soccer field, or if it's singing in the choir, or whatever it is, we don't just want to dishearten and squelch their passions. So fathers, provoke not your children to anger. You know, I was just reminded in regards to this. I think it was yesterday, or no, the day before, my children were playing with this little game with marbles. It's called Marble Works, and you have these tracks that you put together, and you run marbles down them, and they go all different directions. Well, after they had cleaned that up, and we were doing something totally different, out of the blue, my son Ian stops me, and he said these words: Dad, you know, we're all like marbles. We all go our different directions. You know, what a powerful thought as we think about our children. And they all do go different directions, don't they? And he wanted me to say that today, just so you know. So I had to get that plug in for him. But you know, they're thinking. And they are contemplating life. And yes, they're all different. But yes, parents, we have a responsibility to honor their differences as God has designed them. And let's look at the positive. We are to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. My heart breaks as I watch parents who seek to parent without the Lord. It saddens my heart as you go through the stores and you watch families and you watch what takes place, and your heart breaks as you see a family that's just trying to make it through, but they don't know God. They don't know this incredible truth that we're looking at today. They don't have the Spirit of God in their lives to give them the guidance, to give them the selflessness, to be able to take a rebellious child and stop their shopping, go out and deal with the child, disciplining them, and then resume their shopping. No, they're ruled by self-centeredness. That's the way life is apart from Christ. It's about self-centered living. As a church, we have a distinct advantage in our parenting in that God gives us clear instructions. And so, church, we need to learn and do things God's way. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As we look at this term, bring up, this is the same term that is used in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 20-29 in reference to a husband nourishing and cherishing his wife, or the Lord nourishing and cherishing the church. That word nourish is the same word here as bring up. So what is meant here is to bring from immaturity to maturity, to provide everything that this little one needs to be able to grow and to mature. And so we are to nourish our children, we are to train our children, bring them up. In other words, there's a goal in mind. There's adulthood coming. We have a purpose and goal. And so we take them from infancy to adulthood. This is the bringing up process. How are we to do that? He gives you two things. You do that in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture, you could think of it as these are the things that are done to your child. Admonition are the things that are said to your child. Another way you could look at it is the nurture is the training of the child. The admonition is the wisdom communicated to the child to stay on God's right path. This is important, again, because God tells us what not to do, and now he's telling us what we are to do. Now, fathers, parents, we are to be active in our roles. We are to go and parent on purpose. And so we do that on purpose by training them. We aren't just letting things happen. All right? That's a temptation, isn't it? We just let life happen to our child, and I want to warn you, if you just let life happen to your child, the world's got your child. The world will get your child. And you'll be frustrated. You will have a rebellious child. Your child will be difficult. Listen, be active and practice what God's Word teaches us. And there's other places, more than just what's here, that kind of shape what you see here, this bringing up, nurture and admonition of the Lord. How do you train them? What's this nurturing look like? This nurturing aspect is I like to look at it as the provision of those boundaries. This is where you kind of set the course for your child. Now, I want to say you. I'm using you as God guides you. As God is gracious in your life and teaches you, you set the boundaries, you set the pace, you set the course for your child. Okay? Don't fall into that temptation of just, you know, allow your child to find in his own way. No, he can't. He's just a little child. If you allow him to find his own way, the world will guide him in his way. You need to guide him in his way, and as he grows older, you loosen the reins. But as he is young, as they are young, you set the boundaries, you set the pace, you show them what is right and what is wrong. You establish rewards and consequences for life's decisions. When they are little, they are much different than when they are in their youth. But nevertheless, this is a very clear training time. Think of any kind of training that you might receive. If you're in sports, you have sports training, you're training for some certain activity or event, you go through extreme exercises, you follow detailed rules to accomplish a certain thing. Well, dear ones, listen, you are in a training process of training your children for adulthood, for godliness. And so it's going to take active involvement on your part to be able to accomplish these things for the glory of God. Admonition, and I'm kind of hustling through this, but admonition. So you have the nurture, bring them up, and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So the nurture, it's the training, it's what is done to your child. The admonition is about what is said. That Greek word has the mind and understanding embedded right in it. And so you're going to be putting within your child wisdom, truth. And in that aspect, I believe, is the teaching of spiritual truth into the life of your child. Just yesterday, I had an incredible picture of this. And I praise God after it happened. I was like, God, this is incredible. This is an illustration of what we're talking about. Two nights ago, we had just put all the kids to bed. And we were fellowshipping. My in-laws are in town. And we're talking and things. And down comes one of my boys. And he comes down into the room. And, of course, when Nani and Jopa are around, they love to spend time with Nani and Jopa. And going to bed is just so hard. And so they come down. He comes down and he says, Daddy, my tongue is itchy and my throat is scratchy. Okay, well, go get yourself a drink. So he goes and gets himself a drink. Daddy, it didn't help. You know, meanwhile, we're trying to talk, and he's saying this in front of all of them. Son, you need to go to bed. So go to bed. And he obeyed. He went to bed. Well, the next morning, I was in my bedroom, and a knock came on my door, and he walked in the room. And he came over to me, and he sat down, and he had his head down. And I said, what is it, son? What is it? Daddy, I need to tell you something. Will you forgive me for lying to you? What did you say? When did you lie to me? Daddy, when I told you my throat was scratchy and my tongue was itchy. Well, son, who told you to tell me? Nobody, Dad. It was just happened in the middle of the night. I just knew I needed to tell you. And so first thing in the morning, I had to find you, and I finally found you. I forgive you, son. And let me tell you who told you. Let me tell you who told you that. Who told me, Daddy? God told you. You see, you're a child of God, and the Spirit of God is living within your life, and He convicted you of your sin, and you needed to come and tell Daddy. God told you that. Now, I share that illustration with you because there was an opportunity, yes, of training, yes, of establishing certain boundaries, which actually had already been done, and he realized the line had been crossed, and there was an opportunity for admonishment, of encouragement, of exhortation, of teaching. As your child, as he approached this thing in life, this conviction in life, and I had the glorious opportunity of helping him understand that God is alive and in him and convicting him of his sin. And I pray that he'll remember that for the rest of his days, that God did help me do something that was right. You see, God's at work in our kids. And you know, parents, you are in a most sacred role. You see, children are not just possessions to toss around and feed and then just let go. They're precious people. They are people made in the image of God. They are people whom God is chasing after to save and to use for His honor and glory. And you, parent, you today have an opportunity to be a tool of God, to be used in their little lives to help shape them for eternity. Fathers, take this to heart. This was to you. And you lead your families. You lead your families, your wife and your children. Create an environment that is not frustrating, but it's an environment of training. Yes, there will be times of tears, there will be times of discipline, but just like God does with us, those times happen, but the end result is joyous. It is good. And it is wonderful to see the fruit of this hard work. Lord Jesus, what a precious, precious thing this is, parenting. And I thank you for giving us these words of instruction, this command. And I'm going to ask you, God, that you would do a mighty work in the families of this church, young and old alike, that we, Lord, would be a church where you would be seen and where in our families, our children would see Christ. I pray that our little ones would trust you at a young age. I pray that you would put a hedge of protection around them. I pray that they would maintain a pure life. I pray, God, that you would preserve their innocence in the midst of this evil world. I pray, God, for our parents, that you would give us the courage, God, to say no to self and to say yes to your way. God, we are yours, and we ask you to use us.